My lord.
My lord.
My friends, the hour has come. Madness has overtaken this city and grasped in its claws my children. But now we must drive it back under the rocks whence it came. Madness has had its day!
That crowd was shit.
Let's do it.
We need to talk about our feelings.
What a low blow, guys. That extra Hodor. Did you guys catch that on the
yes.
Previously on Game of Thrones. Hodor.
It's like
Hodor,
they showed Hodor, the whole Hodor. Scene.
Yeah.
Like, I've already seen it.
Fade to black. Guess what? You gonna watch episode 6 now? Nope, there's one more Hodor.
Hey, thank you for listening to Game of Thrones. Micah's not here tonight. He's playing in the NBA Finals.
Miss you, Micah. Go Warriors.
A third of us right now are in a place.
Pretty sure we're all in places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I spent the weekend at Balticon in Baltimore, which is a science fiction fantasy convention. And George R. R. Martin was there, which is super fun.
You guys hang out?
I mean, the whole time.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Much. We were like inseparable. So if anyone wants his phone number, no, that's not real at all. but so we got to watch the episode together in a big room.
You just watched it with everyone.
Yeah,
you're
I
still
just
there.
Watched it, yeah, I just watched it with everyone. I'm recording in the middle of the floor and everyone's looking at me weird. But like Eric was saying, we saw that Hodor from on this week, last week's episode, and somebody in the back yells, "Can we just rewatch episode 5?" And everyone's like, "Yes." So,
too soon.
I know. It was really fun, though. So
I heard that you and Blackfish and Bex and the entire crew have been just ripping up every dance floor in sight and LARPing your hearts away.
Yeah, we LARPed our hearts away. It good. Was really, really fun. We had a good time hanging out with people that I've been chatting with on the podcast and online. So we had a really good time.
I can imagine that this episode would have been fun to see. I mean, all of them, sure, but to see live with an audience and watch different, you know, gauging and hearing and experiencing, whether you want to or not, people's different reaction to the different characters Benjen. that we re-met.
Benjen Stark!
Yeah.
Benjen Stark!
Benjen Stark. So hype about that.
And
good dragon CGI. Good. Sorry.
Go dragon!
I've had so much caffeine. Apologies.
But no, this episode had a lot to it, actually. Surprisingly, you know, we thought this would kind of be more of like an episode in a bottle, only a couple plot lines covered. But, you know, like the last few Brian Cogman episodes focused on fewer characters, but the scenes were lengthy and meaty and, you know, in the end.
Lengthy.
I think they made us feel a whole lot.
I was surprised we got so much Sam and Gilly.
I was pleased, and immediately I was just like, I wrote down my notes like Sam is, I forget exactly the order, the sequence in which I wrote this, but I just remember thinking all of my hopes and dreams about Samwell Tarly rising to a large standing person in the end game just appears to be true. Look at all this build up and family and screen time for someone that's just sailing south.
Talk about families. When his sister was saying, "Oh, you know, I'm promised to a Fosaway," I was like, "Those are the Apple guys.
They're great." Please read the Hedge
this
Knight.
This is great. This is fantastic.
Thank you, Brian Cogman, for giving us that moment.
Oh, that was great. From one Hedge Knight reader to another.
And thank you, George R. R. Martin, for the hype all of this weekend and gracing us with a new chapter from the Winds of Winter. There's a lot to talk about
tonight.
I heard
something about a Valyrian set of armor.
Anna, you were there. Bless us.
I was there, and it's very difficult for me to talk about. He read a new chapter from Winds of Winter, which he always puts the disclaimer of, it's going to be edited, blah, 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 so who knows what's going to happen. But it was about damp hair, and it was called The Forsaken, I believe is the title of the chapter. It was all about damp hair and Euron and their interactions as damp hair is held captive while Euron's out at sea. So there was a couple things that were confirmed that were really creepy, like Euron coming to visit him in the night. And there's like a couple fever dream moments where damp hair has these visions about his family and his life. And my favorite part is the fact that we learned that Euron has a full set of Valyrian armor, like head to toe.
Yeah.
Valyrian armor.
Yeah.
The one and only. But it made me think a lot about Euron's character that we saw in the episode last week, and about how George R. Martin said something to the effect of Euron in this chapter, which I think was true, was made like Ramsay Bolton look like a bunny rabbit. Like, he just is like vicious and intense. And hopefully the chapter gets put up online if it isn't already. So everyone, I take a look around. We can probably retweet it when we see that go up. But it was really, really fun to learn more about the Greyjoys and to kind of be in the head of Dampere in Winds of Winter, and to hear George R. Martin read it. I'm a couple rows away from him. Cool. I'm like hearing him turn the pages and like him, he's making edits out loud while he's sitting there kind of in his head. So it was a really, really cool experience.
This is a good day to be a fan of all of this.
I tried to take notes to kind of make sure that I had something important or interesting to report back on, but like 5 minutes into it, I was like, I can't do this. Like, I was mouth open, taking it all in. It was really fun.
Guys, the Mad King.
Yeah.
Burn them all.
And the pyromancers.
Burn them all.
That was something that I wasn't expecting, and I have a lot of questions about what he was seeing.
I feel like I was derailed. I was ready. Here we go. Let's do this. Week 6, season 6, Brian Cogman, Jack Bender's back. Oh, great. Brandon Mira, perfect. This is when it's all going to happen.
Right.
And then Bran's still in the mix. Bran's just vision, 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 vision. Future, past.
Ned, we have, Rob, we're recording Wildfire.
Right after the episode aired. So look to our second episode this week, where we'll probably go frame by frame in that thing, but I haven't had the time to do it, and I've seen it a few times, and I'm just overwhelmed by the imagery, and I'm so excited, because right now in season 6, we're getting the kind of show that I thought we were going to get at the end.
Mm.
And I'm not just talking about the hustle and the flow. I'm talking about how important this very large scale threat has become to the show. I mean, it is centerpiece right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I didn't expect it this soon. And I'm so excited, because if it's happening now, we thought it was going to happen later and we'd get, you know, we'd be spoon fed enough and then the series would end and it'd be like, that was perfectly done. If this is happening now, and I've said it earlier in the season, I'm so excited for how seriously intense it's going to be later on.
Well, no, that's a really good point. I mean, essentially the battle for and or at the wall was set up in this episode by what Benjen was telling Bran. You're going to learn how to control this. Bran's got basically thousands of years worth of voicemails to go over or something, you know, like emails to read on history and everything. But he's got to learn to control. He's going to learn to control the power, and then he's going to meet the Night's King.
What if you say
wall?
Something about like one way or another, the Night's King is going to find you, so you got to be ready, regardless of what you think now.
And he's gonna go and he's gonna find. I think he said he's gonna find his way into the realms of Ben. Like
that
down
is wild.
Benjen Stark said that though.
Benjen Stark said that.
Yeah.
That scene. So when we first see when Bran kind of wakes up from his vision and he goes, "Mira, they found us," and everybody's heart starts beating really fast. People in the audience started, they're like, "Benjen, Benjen." Like, you could just hear people saying out loud, like, "This is Benjen coming. Is this him? Is this going to be his moment?" Because I think this is something that people have theorized about or wondered about for a while. So that was a cool moment to share with a big group of people.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I don't know who else they had left. Really, it almost had to be Benjen.
Gendry.
And you know what it is? I think Gendry's making the campfire back at the camp.
Mm.
And in the next couple episodes, they're just going to be going to the stronghold where Gendry is.
So Benjen in the show is Cold Hands.
Yeah.
Process that.
It's
with
interesting
us.
That he, because hasn't George R. Martin continually denied that Benjen's mm-hmm. Cold Hands?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting move on their part.
Combining storylines of characters north of the wall. I'm really excited by some of the things that we saw in tonight's episode. But I will say that if last week's episode were, you know, presented a really unique view of the end game, we learned, you know, essentially the origin of the White Walkers. I didn't like the way this episode added to that in certain ways. Benjen giving the explanation for why he did not die when a White Walker attacked him with the ice sword. Oh, they used the obsidian. You've seen this. You've seen this. They did the same thing to me, but it stopped the magic. So it's a dragonglass dagger to the heart that both creates a White Walker, kills a White Walker, and stops the magic from taking root when you're approached by Children of the Forest after you've been attacked by a White Walker. It seems like the answer to everything is obsidian, and I think it's probably not going to be like that in the books. I think it's a little convenient for the show, but it might be too mainstreamed now, I'm feeling. It might be too kind of... I see what they're trying to do here, but I kind of would prefer an entire season of still traveling in the woods with Bran while he learns this stuff than just the one sentence explanation from who the hell Uncle Benjen, you know, getting from point A to point B. I'm worried that it's speeding up too much now.
It is going very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys feel that way? I mean, that's the shock. So it's like, is the end game? I mean, what you were saying, Zach, the end game sooner than we thought. Like,
I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time left. I mean, in terms of episodes. And so I think that's the unfortunate reality.
But I mean, this is a good reality to be in because, I mean, season six is expletiving. That's not a thing, but people are losing their shit. They're like the Dothraki at the end of this episode. They can't handle a dragon that close to them. Like, just totally losing their shit. Like, this is a crazy, I mean, this is season six is, yeah. Yeah, it's happening. I mean, it helps very much that there isn't a book to coordinate with what we're seeing. But we're seeing the folks making the show really, really, really get comfortable and express themselves in some serious ways without fear of being, at least at the moment, compared to the books. And I think that for the sake of the creators and the writers, that we're seeing a very, very good television show. I mean, George R. R. Martin laid the foundation and created everything that made this series great. And I'm sure that all of the big pieces that we're seeing in season six are directly by his design. But at the same time, the pacing, the flow, like, let's talk about this episode in particular, the time we spent at Horn Hill, the time that we spent with the actors behind the scenes at the play. I mean, these were, for me, some of my favorite moments so far.
Those were two of the top scenes, I think, in this episode for me.
It's fantastic. By actors we're not even that close to yet. And I don't even want to talk about Arya Stark because Maisie Williams, Arya Stark, this was the best Arya scene there in seasons. Murdered it.
Digging out a needle and then waiting in the dark.
When she was standing and speaking to her mark, I was just, I was like,
even
yes.
In the face in the audience when she's watching this story that she's all too familiar with play out in front of her eyes, Joffrey, you know, is dying and she's, the audience is very somber laughing. And she's laughing. I thought that was really cool. And I'm glad that we got to see more of the play in this Mercy story that we hear a little bit about from Winds of Winter. But I thought that was cool that we got to head back there. And I know that we were going to, but that was one of the highlights for our last episode for me. And so to be back there again and for it to be done so well was definitely a highlight for this episode.
Tommen.
Yeah.
With the twist.
That was a huge twist. I don't think anybody was more surprised than his father, than Jaime, on the horse. There will be a screen cap of it, I'm sure, floating around, but his just completely sour face when he realized what has happened. And really the dawning realization that conflict was over without any bloodshed. And that was not something that we thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
We were, of course, looking forward to and saw in the, you know, previews and everything, the men riding up to the steps of Baelor and trying to engage the High Sparrow, and it didn't work.
Can we talk about how awesome that felt, seeing troops on the ground, seeing Mace Tyrell as the most regal man in King's Landing, the most regal man in Westeros, yeah. His amazing speech.
Madness
has had its day.
That was cool.
I think it really serves to illustrate those speeches happen whether the battle is won or lost or even fought in this case. But good on him for doing that. But I just think, you know, who knew? The guy doesn't even wear shoes, but the High Sparrow really had a couple more things up his sleeve. One of them apparently was to completely convert King Tommen to the faith.
I have been hoodwinked by the High Sparrow. I underestimated you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Marjorie who does the converting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Who can blame Tommen for wanting to do everything his precious wife would ask him to do? But
do you think they're going to get to be together now, or is that not something the Faith do?
They're married.
I hope so.
Yeah, so that's it's going to be interesting to see, what do they call it, a holy alliance, and how everybody in the crowd just loves it. Like, all the people of King's Landing are so excited about this.
Yeah, these guys don't have, I think, collectively a third grade reading level, the entire crowd. But they're all very happy for this thing that's probably never existed before for 1,000 years, at least. I'm definitely very interested in the twist and what exactly it means for everyone. But I think it was clear and made clear in this episode, you know, as far as Queen Lady Lena and Cersei were concerned, you know, they have to fight another day. They have no choice. They've lost.
He's beat us.
Oh, and then Jaime gets dismissed from not only the Kingsguard, but from King's Landing.
Oh, he's got to go meet up with Brienne.
Yeah.
I think that prediction's coming true.
We need to process this turn of fate. Jaime being, he's no longer the Lord Commander of the Kingsguard.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's going somewhere. And that's certainly giving us a different storyline to watch. And so I'm intrigued that this setup of the drama in the middle of Westeros with Walder Frey and the Blackfish and Edmure, which was fantastic.
Great seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very intrigued to see this unfold. It's like latent season drama. And I wasn't sure, you know, I figured Jaime would be traveling, judging from the trailer. I figured, and they probably guessed that we would all be figuring this as well, that Jaime would be traveling by episode 3, 4, 5 at the latest.
Right.
And now he's leaving, let's say, episode 7 for completely different reasons than we expected. So I feel good about this.
I was thrilled to see just in the preview for next week, there is the briefest of clips of Bronn beside Jaime. I am excited for the eventual return of Bronn to the show. Thrilled that he isn't dead or otherwise just written off for time or budget or anything else. Could be a casualty, but he's not. He's going to be back. So wherever they go, as long as they're together, I feel extra comfortable for Jaime Lannister leaving. But ultimately, you know, being dismissed from the Kingsguard, not something that happens to everybody. And he's essentially sent out to prove that the Lannisters can still crush their enemies. Unfortunately, this puts the pairing between the Lannisters and the Freys back in the forefront. And we've been looking for this ever since the Red Wedding. We've been looking for some momentum with the plot in the Riverlands. But now we're getting it. And it's almost like, oh my God, you know, how lucky are we to be getting this now? But is it too soon? Is it, you know, now this is going to be dealt with. We saw Walder Frey chastising his children or descendants and giving them the hostage to take over in Edmure. That was this episode. You know, it's back, baby. This plot line is back in a huge way.
Yeah.
And without, it's almost no time to digest. Jaime's going there. The Freys are there.
Brienne's going there.
I mean, and Brienne.
It's interesting that we got that flashback or that vision from Brienne, because we see Rob for like half a second. So it's like Red Wedding. And then we get lots while they're talking about the Red Wedding, and to kind of put that back in the forefront of our minds.
There's so much to unpack right now.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. But what does Cersei say to Jaime as he doesn't really want to go? He's kind of unsure. He wants to stay with her, especially while she's coming up on her trial. And I really liked when she was like, take that stupid castle because we can. Like, we'll do it just because we're the Lannisters and because we're powerful, and we'll show people what's what.
God, Jaime was so mad in this episode. Give Bronn the largest sack of gold he's ever seen. That'll work. That line he said about Walder Frey being 400 years old, I audibly laughed. Like,
that was really funny.
But I'm looking forward to seeing it. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing him going there. And we got the strong mention of the Brotherhood Without Banners, not only in passing, but also with basically a proclamation saying that they're a part of what resistance is happening. And with all this converging, can we now comfortably talk about the possibility of Lady Stoneheart coming into the scene? Like, does that make sense to you guys? Because this is just, it's more than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I said this, I think, earlier in the season, which is for a long time, I was very anti-Lady Stoneheart. And I still think that at the end of the day, I am still in the camp, if I had to pick a side, that she's not going to come back. But I'm continually open to persuasion, and it's leading in that direction more than I thought that it would or could.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Also, Ian McShane was not the Mad King.
I know. I was kind of looking for that, but then again, hey, he'll just have another cool role. You know, it's interesting because in an episode where we get somebody that we weren't sure if we'd ever see again, Benjen, and he's merged with fantastical element of the books in Cold Hands, you know, the possibility seems endless, and yet here's Cold Hands without his elk. And so what cuts will be made? You know, it's still not truly Cold Hands in a way. And we thought maybe with the killing of Summer that they freed up the budget to do a giant elk.
You thought that.
I thought that. But it's hard to say. And Lady Stoneheart probably won't cost as much to do as, say, a CG elk. But, you know, what will and won't make it if they're really taking a knife to it? So I have a feeling that we'll see the Brotherhood Without Banners. Anything that kills more Freys is, at this point, probably going to be okay in my book.
You had to bring up that elk. Now I'm mad.
I know. Now I, like, can't think about anything else.
He's just on the horse. And the horse kicked ass. I mean, my own's probably kicked ass. The horse.
Did you see him wielding his flail of fire?
Yeah.
That was so cool.
He's got, like, what the priests carry with the incense, except it was on fire.
He fights like a Stark, too. Can I just say that?
He does fight like a Stark, just in the nick of time.
It was really great to see.
Poor Mira. After she's having to drag Bran and he's not even awake.
Yeah, he doesn't even cold. Do her the courtesy of being there in that time and place. I mean, I know he can't control it, but it's funny because when she goes and pretty much needs him to, like, comfort her and is crying all over him, he's gone.
Do you remember when Benjen said, you know, like, oh, the Three-Eyed Raven's dead, now we have the Three-Eyed Raven?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like that. Boom.
The Three-Eyed Raven is Bran. Yes.
And I wonder to what extent, like, that made me question a lot about how Bran came by his power. Because you know that the Starks have this connection with their direwolves. More than half of them in the books are wargs. Or actually have wolf dreams and the like. And yet, this transfer of power and this destiny that's been hoisted upon Bran, you know, it's almost seemingly without touching Bran, the Three-Eyed Raven has bestowed his superior abilities onto Bran and appointed him the new leader. Can anybody be that or do that? And if not, how does it work? What was transferred exactly? And what is the destiny? What is the job description of the Three-Eyed Raven?
Eric, I think that the Three-Eyed Raven is Bran.
Like,
I think that he was Bran.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe it's stupid.
I don't know. I mean, he does say to Bran that he's going to be him.
We didn't have a second episode last week because we interviewed Christian and we were caught up with all that.
By the way, that was awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
We hope you all enjoyed listening to it. I sure did.
I've been thinking about it all week and I've been wanting to talk to you guys about it so much. And I know it's a little ridiculous, but when I saw the profile shot of both of them standing together on Winterfell, their faces matched so much. And when Bran came out of his vision with the Night King touching his arm, he says, "He saw me." And immediately the Three-Eyed Raven corrected him. He goes, "He touched you." He touched you. And he's like, "Well, what do I have to do now?" He's like, "Now you have to become me." And he immediately takes him to Winterfell. At the moment when he was a child, if this is him, he had to, by tough luck and the hard way, protect himself. And make Hodor and start the chain of events that brought Hodor there to hold the door long enough for them to leave and now be rescued by Cold Hands.
I think that's interesting. I think we've seen what Bran is capable of or what he could be capable of in terms of time. And thinking about it kind of makes my brain hurt a little bit. But I don't think that that's something that's completely out of the question. I think that that's something that he's capable of doing. I think that that creates interesting questions about
what
else he was going to teach him before. I mean, if he knew, and this is something we've thought about this week, is if Three-Eyed Raven knew that Bran was going to do this and knew that he wasn't going to have the amount of time that he wanted with him to teach him what he needs to know to be able to do whatever he has to do. And so I think that creates some interesting questions there.
I miss Micah because right now he'd be like, I've been thinking this for years.
He already knows the answer. He's probably thinking about it while he's playing in the NBA.
Playing in the NBA.
Yeah. I think it's.
I know it's a little far fetched, but I feel like we've already gotten introduced with the idea of time loops with Hodor. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just judging by the clues, and those clues, I think, in a way, are so glaringly obvious that they might be misdirection. And fine, but if that is the truth, then that means that for many, 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 many years, Bran found his way back to a certain point in time and lived through it. Right. And as he lived through it, whatever happens at the end of this story probably has something to do with the reason why he was able to do that in the first place, which the implications there are crazy because that means that what we're experiencing is all in a loop and the Song of Ice and Fire never ends.
I like that. This is the song that never ends.
So that would mean the Night King really, really hates Brandon Stark.
Yeah.
And we may be looking back at episode 5 one day when all is said and done, we learn even more. When we learn stuff that makes what we've learned so far in season 6 feel like bananas, we may go back and look at that scene in episode 5 and say, that's the Night King. That's the great villain of this series. Standing right in front of his arch nemesis. Mm-hmm. And after all these years, finding a way inside his protected chambers and cutting him down.
Or we're going to be like, we were so dumb. All the answers are right in front of us. And we couldn't pick up on the simplest clues.
For me too.
He's a boss away.
It was a boss away behind it. I have to say that I enjoyed thinking during this episode that the visions Bran was seeing could have been affected by the fact that he was touched by the Night's King. You know, they seem to be sort of White Walker focused. We saw the child, we saw the Ice Palace, the altar, you know, and things like that. And of course, there were plenty that weren't. Jaime taking a seat on the throne, for instance. You know, this kind of thought and talk, it's impossible to say until Bran says exactly what he was experiencing. I mean, it seemed to me like they were trying to represent, like, he's traveling through all space and all time right now. But I still like the idea that this mark on his arm, you know, and Zach, going off of your theory too, if he one day does become the Max von Sydow, Three-Eyed Raven, presumably he has somehow dealt with that mark. Is it a lasting mark? Was it just something temporary? Did it already come off? You know, what does he do about that?
Maybe it's still there, Eric.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to have a Jorah moment where he like lifts, too bad he didn't like lift up his sleeve and it's like grayscaled, but it's like the mark on the Three-Eyed Raven's arm. And we're like, whoa.
I just want to say we didn't see Max von Sydow walk once outside of a vision.
Okay.
I like that. I'm starting to like this a lot.
Maybe he just really was implanted in the tree.
Oh, man.
I know that, I don't know. But Bran did see a lot. And I feel like the pyromancers, like, we understood what was happening to King's Landing beforehand with the Mad King. I don't think that we had to necessarily see them working with wildfire. And I think that that might come back in a big way this season.
I think you're probably right. You know, it's funny because I have a quote in my notes. You're talking about wildfire. And I have a quote that says, it's so green. But then it's actually not about wildfire. It's about Gilly when she sees Horn Hill for the first time. That was great. That whole thing, I know we said earlier, but I loved it. And it actually reminded me a lot of Force Awakens with Rey. I didn't think there was so much, was it green or blue, in the universe, in the galaxy. But Gilly gets herself a nice dress, gets herself a bath, gets herself an edumacation for her son, potentially. There was really a lot of promising future handed to them early on, Sam and Gilly, in this episode. And it was very heartwarming to see the women react to Gilly, to see Sam's own mother taking in young Samwell, taking to young Samwell so easily and so nicely. And frankly, I'm really pleased, because for all of the preparation we had for Lord Tarly, and what a dick we knew that he would be,
he was good.
I didn't expect at all that to have that sort of counterbalanced by the women in Sam's family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That was very nice to see. Horn Hill is just a fantastic place to live.
Incredible. That's gorgeous.
I'm ready for the series. Yeah, I'm ready for the TV spinoff series called Horn Hill.
Dick in Hunts.
There's so many moments. There's so many moments from the scenes there that I don't know which one I want to talk about more. I thought, like you were talking about, Eric, with Sam and Gilly all dressed up, and I thought there was kind of like these awkward, funny moments between them as they're kind of in this new life after they've been through so much. And to see them sitting at that table with Sam's family, cutting their food nicely while his brother is talking about how he's such an incredible hunter and what has Sam done and could he go, he was supposed to go to the wall to become a man. And Gilly finally gets this moment to say that he's a greater warrior than any of you will ever be, to which the room I was interrupted in cheers. But Sam killed a White Walker. Like, Sam has been this incredibly brave and he's been a warrior.
How blessed are we as an audience, though, to realize, you know, his father is saying all these terrible things to him, but we're able, because we know what a badass Sam is. We know what he's done. And, you know, it was perfectly illustrated by when Gilly was standing up for Sam and saying, oh, he's slain a White Walker. And Dickon goes, those don't exist. You know, that's exactly their speed. That's exactly where they're at. And frankly, I, not to cut to the end of that whole sequence, but taking Heartsbane.
Yes.
So awesome.
Essentially what these people deserve. It's like, you're not prepared to fight this battle. You don't believe that could even be a thing.
You don't need the sword.
And the realm is, quite short on Valyrian steel, as Lord Tarly pointed out. So, you know, I think that it's probably best in the hands of somebody like the Slayer.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to do any good sitting there in Hornhill above the hearth. Like, we've got stuff to do. So let's
melt
take
that down
sword
for crossbow bolts.
Yeah. Who better in the hands of than Sam, who's actually, compared to what his father and brother have been through, he's 10 times the man that any of them could have ever dreamed that Sam could become. And so it's exactly like you said, Eric, the juxtaposition between us understanding as an audience what Sam has been and who he actually is versus the way his father is just like sneering at him. I was so happy that Gilly stood up for him.
Don't take one more piece of bread. You're fat enough already. Really, dude? Like, really?
Yeah,
your son
he just
has come
doesn't
from
let him
the wall, from north of the wall. Really?
He was every bit of shit that we thought he would be.
He was.
Honestly, a little bit worse.
Unrelenting, yeah. And furthermore, it's such a shame that he wasn't listening when Gilly was standing up for Sam, because he just discovered her identity and decided not to listen to her at all or pay her any mind because she's a wildling whore.
What are they going to do next?
They're in Old Town.
But will his plan work? That's my big thing with Sam is, unfortunately, I think that Gilly would have been better off at Hornhill. And Sam, I think it's romantic.
They belong
you want to take
together.
Gilly with her. I know, but her kid had a real future, I think, at Hornhill. And when
not
Randall,
if the White Walkers destroy.
Maybe not, but I mean, you could at least, you could get some schooling in before then. I think with Randall's promise to still raise the kid, you know, of course, under the pretense that Sam never returned, still, I thought was somehow close to something nearing redemption.
Can you probably imagine growing up in that house, though?
I mean, I don't know.
Be a lot of room.
It's better than growing up in Craster's Keep this time of year.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he wouldn't be growing up in Craster's Keep, unfortunately.
Yeah.
What was the... I think our father could have learned a thing or two from Oh, because yeah. Gilly yeah. knows mm-hmm. to hunt. And so his sister's like, I think our father could have learned a thing or two from your father.
And yeah. Everyone's yeah. just like, and I was like, you don't think that.
Yeah.
You don't.
You don't know Gilly's dad.
But Sam's plan. Oh, you know, you said women aren't allowed at the Citadel. What are they going to do? Fight their way through? I'm sorry, but history doesn't change for you. Like tradition, centuries old traditions don't just bend their will because you've got a Valyrian steel sword. They did at the wall. Kiddo.
She can stay in Old Town though. All right.
Yeah.
She didn't have to be dropped in Hornhill. The show did this because they wanted Heartsbane. It's been in the family for 500 years, and now Sam stole it.
I guess. I mean, but that's so. And at least they created a truly beautiful series of scenes around that, because it wasn't just, oh, we have to stop in here. It's nighttime. No one's ever around. You'll never meet any of these guys, but
that's
he's going
a
in
great
here
point.
To steal the, you know, it's the great theft
yeah.
From the Hall of Hornhill. At least we got to meet these people, because actually half of them I really like.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you were saying, Zach, at the beginning of the show, I think you were saying this, we spent so much time with his family. Like, what does that mean for his future? Like, mm-hmm. who is he going to become? We have this inkling that he's going to be this incredible, he already is an incredible character, but this incredible asset, and us spending so much time in this episode with his family and continuing to learn where he lives and where he comes from and why he is the way that he is going to be, has got to be a great setup for something.
I mean, I'm hopeful for everything. Like I said, in some soliloquy in some episode past, it's going to be the entire equation to make the end goal, you know. I think it's going to take everyone, and I feel so much more hopeful and honestly so much better about where the story's headed right now. And I feel hopeful. My point is, I feel it's because of Arya, but I'm hopeful even more so now because I know how tough and how strong she is and what she can be after she's just went in and been indoctrinated by this hellish cult and coming out the way that she has. I'm just like, With all of the stuff happening with her and now with Sam and Danny and obviously Bran and Benjen and Mira, and the list could go on, I feel really good about their chances against the White Walkers. Right now is the best I've ever felt about their chances against the White Walkers right now tonight. So
that's good.
That's good.
That's yeah. And I mean, you know, obviously it's a story. And they generally end well. And I know George has promised us a bittersweet ending. But how do we, you know, we have so many soldiers right now. So many great people. Half of them may die, but it's what they do along the way to help the cause, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stannis put Melisandre around Jon Snow's dead body. I'm just saying. Everyone's got their place. The gods have a plan for us all. To quote the High Sparrow.
To quote the High Sparrow who doesn't wear shoes.
But good on Sam for that big smooch he got from Kelly.
Man, how
that
sweet.
Was
nice.
That was a real kiss.
I want to quote a tweet. This wasn't directed at us, but it was the Lady Shelley on Twitter. Look at poor Gilly trying to use her dingle hopper. using silverware for the first time. This was adorable. And that actress really, really pulled it off, I felt.
It all just seemed so ridiculous what they were doing, knowing what they had been through.
Yes. Yeah. They're sitting at a table and they've been north of the wall.
Yeah,
they're like,
just like
fine dining.
Let me cut this tasty venison.
Yeah.
Did you kill this recently, Dickon?
It is pretty kind of ridiculous.
But the elk did get a shout out when he was asking Sam what sort of hunting there is north of the wall. When he said elk, I got hopeful. Like maybe they'll find him.
Yeah, you think we're getting toyed with there a little bit?
Maybe they'll find him. Maybe he just wasn't nearby.
No line is a throwaway line.
Well, it's that time again. It's time for an army of 500,000 orcs. Total War. Warhammer.
We can't thank Total War, Warhammer enough for sponsoring our podcast because it gives us another opportunity to talk about epic fantasy.
Our favorite topic.
Total War is one of the most critically acclaimed strategy series in gaming. Now, in its 15th year. A drive for historical authenticity and superb gaming quality has helped establish the franchise as one of the most successful PC games of all time. Although Total War Warhammer contains several features that are new to the series, you can use magic, lords, heroes, flying creatures, and mechanized war machines. as well as enormous, terrifying monsters, which will affect both campaigns and battles in new and dramatic ways.
In Total War Warhammer, you can select one of four races. You can play as the Valiant Men of the Empire, the Vengeful Dwarves, the Murderous Vampire Counts, and the Brutal Orcs and Goblins of the Greenskin Tribes. Each race is wholly different with their own unique characters, campaign mechanics, battlefield units, and playstyle.
For the record, I will be playing as a vampire count who is very murderous.
A 1, a 2, a 3. I don't know why I'm suddenly the Tootsie Roll guy.
This game is brand new. It just came out last week on May 24th. So you can pick it up today in the Steam Marketplace.
We thank Total War Warhammer for their support of our show.
Let us now take a break from this energetic discussion and thank this episode's sponsor, Blue Apron.
Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals.
I mentioned on last week's podcast that I'm traveling for a wedding and that I was on the tail end of Bachelor Party when we recorded The Door and when we recorded our interview with Christian. The place that I'm staying with the groom, and in the groom's family's house, I noticed a very familiar temperature-shielded bag in the refrigerator. And needless to say, it appears that my Blue Apron subscription has followed me on travels.
That's so awesome.
Working on the podcast, that's so real. And so I've been able to actually cook now while traveling.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. It's like the Hogwarts elves. They know where to find you.
Yeah. I was eating ground turkey and then I had spicy Korean rice cakes.
So you can check out this week's menu and get your two free meals with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/owns.
That is two free meals on us.
You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/owns.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So from good acting displayed at the dinner table at Hornhill to the troupe of actors who we learned a heck of a lot more about in Braavos this episode, this Arya plot of this episode was, I know you said Hannah is your favorite Arya scene in years too. And I think, you know, for good reason, they actually spent the time to show something that I think we could have all guessed that Arya wasn't going to go through with it, but to actually have that experience of her going through seeing the play, being entertained by the play, and then actually poisoning the wine only to take it back. I mean, and essentially she must have broken 1,000 rules, but as you know, not only did she not go through with the poisoning, but she pointed out to the woman, Lady Crane, who it was in her mind that, you know, was behind the hit. And this is something that I know the Waif was there. I know the Waif saw it, but I mean, that's like breaking, I think, three rules right there. Three things that you don't do. She absolutely shit the bed on this.
Which I'm so excited about.
I didn't expect it. I thought Arya was going to go through with it. I thought she was going to be with those. Maybe that was just bad on my part, but I was so surprised.
She could have set aside her personal feelings on this woman, but maybe it's that when we, maybe
she's
the lesson
is. She's very dedicated though.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the lesson is when we lose people we care about, or when we betray our own sense of morality, that's when we truly become no one and are lost.
Well, she sympathized with Cersei, and that was part of her, you know, feeling. And I just, the poetic justice of all that's happening right now and the fantastic design of this play and the different stages that we saw separated between these two episodes leading to her conclusion of feeling and deciding that that's okay, yeah, worked so well.
It did. Her conversation. What did she say to her? Like, do you enjoy pretending to be someone else, or how easily names come to you, or
do you always pretend, or do you enjoy pretending to be somebody else in terms of Arya's future in an acting career?
Yeah.
If she's going to go down that path.
Arya was giving her tips, you know, like, oh, you should change this. And Cersei would be angry.
How would you change it?
I would set the whole thing in Dorne.
How about the leader when he walks in, he goes, that crowd was shit.
Nobody, that's something about, nobody was even clapping about when Ned's head gets chopped off or something.
Yeah,
along
yeah, no one laughed at that. Come on. That was, like, oh, that was that? So funny. It's just so funny. I don't know. They captured them so well. It was just a nice reprieve from, you know, the real storyline. It felt like, it didn't feel like we were watching a different TV show, but it felt like we were watching a different TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, totally separate. Like, when do we get thespians arguing about stage presence and writing in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Their role as players in the grand scheme of things. It was really an opportunity for the show to take us in this new place. And that's because of Arya's storyline is, you know, to kill someone, to get close enough to kill someone, you have to inhabit their world. And that's exactly what Arya has done. So even though she's a dropout, essentially, at this point, of the School of the Many-Faced God, you know, it definitely afforded us some tickles here and there.
So one of my favorite Arya scenes, just in general in my whole life, is when she is going into the House of Black and White. She buries Needle, and she doesn't toss Needle into the water. And in the book, this is dialogue in her head about Needle was Bran and Rickon and Jon and Winterfell and her family, and so she couldn't bear to let it go, and so she buries it away. And in that moment, I feel like you know that she's never going to lose that part of herself, because she can't get rid of it then, she's not going to be able to get rid of it now, but when she comes back to that and she's digging through the rocks to find Needle again and to pull that out, was so cool, and I loved that so, so much. I'm excited that she didn't go through with it. I'm excited that she continued, she remembered who she was, and she's had a chance to be put back into her situation by watching this play. And she's realized that she's always going to be who she is. Well, whatever the consequences are, which I'm sure they're going to be heavy. And so that was really, really cool for me. Just because I love that scene so much earlier in the series. So who knows what's going to happen next?
So hard.
And then she goes back to sleep. Like, she goes back there and blows out the candle and goes to bed. Like, if I was her, I would have peaced out real fast.
The assassins of the planet have her mark, and they know her so well. I'm so scared for Arya, but at the same time, I'm just like, yes.
I'm not scared at all for Arya. And it's not just because she can handle herself, whatever. It's because, I mean, she has Needle back. It's great. But it's very clear to me in this show that she is Jaqen's favorite pupil, and he's not going to allow much harm to come to her. I mean, essentially, there was an agreement when the wave came back, and said be an agreement.
Yeah.
Don't let her suffer, he says. Come on, man. Like, she has just betrayed everything you tried teaching her, and spat in the many faces of your organization, and you're saying, don't make her suffer.
Well,
they know
that's
her weakness.
Fair.
They know her weakest points. I feel, and she just blew out her candle. Like,
yeah, she said,
so
fuck
nonchalant.
It.
I'm so nervous
Does he even care? I mean, say that Arya bests the waif in combat somehow, stabs her, kills her. Does Jaqen care? It's a face for the wall either way, right?
Yeah,
isn't that
one way or another?
He said
yeah.
a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's one death. A girl has supplied one death.
But I'm sure this has happened before.
It must have.
They go through a pretty rigorous boot camp. I'm sure there have been other defectors, and I'm sure that they were all swiftly caught, because look who they are. You know, it's not like you abandon the Golden Company and it's like, hey, you signed a contract, come back here, and even that's terrifying. But this is, you know, these are, look at what they do. He was just cutting a guy's face off to magically affix it to someone else's face later on. You know, let's think about who these people are. And Arya felt inside of herself and decided, okay, where's the Hound, right?
Where's my crew?
Yeah, I need to get my squad back together. I need Hot Pie, Gendry.
Man, I would love
Thomas
that.
Thomas Seven Strings. Bring it all together.
Gendry,
come
Arya,
on. Go back to Westeros.
I'm not mad that she's gone, though, from the House of Black and White. That was just...
I'm going to miss that music.
Didn't really do it for me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad that it ended. I think that we've tied up our time there well. I assume that we're tying up our time there. But I think that I was so pleased with just the way things went this episode. And so I feel good about us leaving and heading back.
I thought we were going to see Lady Crane die after she had just gotten completely destroyed by the asshole leader of their group.
That would have been a particular low point for her.
Exactly. And, you know, I feel like that's just sort of what we're told through the harsh realities of this world. But there she came to interrupt those feelings and to change the course of what we saw coming completely. For me, at least, a lot of you out there may be saying like, hey, man, this was so obvious. She hid Needle. But I don't know. Arya really convinced me. And try reading in the books as well. Arya is very, very dedicated to what she's doing. So seeing that, if it happens, the Winds of Winter, is going to be really interesting to see what was going on in her head. But for the sake of what we have now, I mean, I'll take this book spoiler. Feels pretty good knowing that Arya is Arya.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just feel reborn, you know, because she was such a favorite of mine for so long. Man, that's cool.
I can see that.
It's just nice to have her back.
It is nice to have her back.
I mean, it's for me, it's one more Stark that can get killed off, and I worry about her now 10 times Eric. More. It's like, oh, now, sorry. I mean, the show is. This world looks for Starks to kill off. Now we got Benjen too, so now there's two more Starks than we had last episode.
Back in the running.
I think we've actually gained more Starks than we've lost at this point.
We had no Sansa this episode, though.
I'm not sure.
How you feel, Hannah?
Or Tyrion.
I felt really sad about it.
We did get Tyrion sort of in the play, just an evil Tyrion.
I hate that guy.
I just hope Arya never meets him, you know? Because she's going to think Tyrion's just the biggest lump of coal there is.
I hate that guy. I hate the guy who plays Tyrion.
Hey, look, nobody. I think at this point, it's just it's whisper down the alley. I mean, who knows the real truth, really?
Of course. Well, we do. All right.
Yeah.
From the points of view themselves. And no, Tywin Lannister did not shit gold, unfortunately.
My favorite running joke in Westeros.
Honestly, though, I thought after this scene, because I saw it visualized for the first time, Tywin Lannister supposedly shitting gold on stage, complete with sound effects. And I thought to myself, that would explain how they've remained so rich, continually rich.
Mystery solved. Yeah. Game of Thrones answering all the toughest questions in season 6.
We haven't spoken about Queen of our hearts, Daenerys Targaryen, yet.
Man.
And I'm not sure if it's because we were saving the best for last.
The blood of our
blood. I don't even know if this was the best, but I feel like it was the best speech by Daenerys ever.
It was awesome.
It was really awesome.
Will you give me the Seven Kingdoms?
Forever.
I ask more of you than any call has asked.
Everyone was so excited. Just like loving it. She's on her dragon. And she's just talking about calls always pick 3 blood riders, but she's not going to pick 3. She's going to choose them all. And will you ride with me across the sea? And everyone's cheering and she's screaming. And Dario just has like heart eye emoji. Just like looking up at her.
That was totally Dario's expression. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, he was just, again, dumbfounded. Just, oh, God. Just, she's so much better than me in every way.
She peaced out. BRB, let me get my dragon.
That was so cool.
And she makes that entrance.
It worked. Drogon, the shadow, and then the reveal. He is fucking huge.
He's massive.
It's like, great horses. They're just going nuts with their horses at one point. Just riding in circles. Yeah. Their horses were excited. They couldn't even handle it. They're like, look at her. She's on a dragon.
And they've all got swords and she's yelling at Dothraki.
They're all cutting their braids off. They can't even stand it. They're like, we just got owned.
We've lost.
That
was really cool.
I mean, I know that we speak highly of all the stuff happening in Westeros with the men in the north and the great threat of the great others. But she's riding a dragon like it is nothing. Like it ain't no thing.
I like when, before she jumps on her dragon, when Dario's telling her that she wasn't made for a palace because she's a conqueror. And I felt like her going to get that dragon was just like I am a conqueror. So let me go ride over the peoples that I've conquered. I mean, he hasn't necessarily conquered the Dothraki, but she's convinced them to rally behind her.
What was I born to do?
Yeah.
It was
ride dragons.
It was nice.
So 1,000 ships. Yeah. And where to find them.
She's got 2 more of those too.
Yeah,
dragons. So,
watching with everybody in that room again, which I keep talking about because I just had so much fun, when they're talking about how she needs 1,000 ships, I'm like, where are you going to get them? And everyone just started yelling, the Greyjoys. Was awesome.
That sounds so fun.
Awesome. It was so fun.
So we have a treat for you, Hannah, actually. Well, you can introduce it, Hannah.
So after we finished wrapping up watching the episode all together at Balticon, I whipped out my phone and tried to capture some first reactions from people and just get everyone's initial, like, what you thought, what your favorite scenes were. Was this a good episode? So just a bunch of random attendees who were there, a lot of the great people that I met. So we'll put them in. It just really captures the feeling of what it was like to watch this in such a massive room with such massive fans, people who are so incredibly smart and invested in this series. So it's fun. It'll really be fun.
Oh, you are? Interesting yes. choice. How do you avoid spoilers?
It's very simple. Most of the people that I hang out with at work, they don't talk about this stuff.
Yes, the season is living up to its promise.
Well, it didn't have the characters I liked, so maybe I have fewer thoughts than normal. But, you know, we got the Drogon ex machina that I had been looking for, so we finally got that in episode 6. But, you know, it was a lot of Sam, and I didn't realize that we really needed Sam that much, so I'm wondering how much Sam is going to show up later in this season as sort of like an important character. But Blackfish
is back.
I still question the wisdom of taking a huge army of Dothraki to Westeros.
Oh, and Cold Hands!
Cold Hands!
Stark is not Dario Naharis. It is confirmed.
Yeah, I was glad to see Benjen come back. I figured they would never resolve that or take care of that.
That's the whole point of this season, is that the ending of all the storylines.
Arya coming back, maybe, to being a Stark
again. I think this episode was a bit of a breather. One, because the last 2 weeks have ended on just very shocking endings, and this time they just kind of gave everyone a little break. But I'm a little wary because every time this show ends on a high note, next week someone we love dies.
Never hire Ramsay Bolton as your babysitter.
George Martin as your wedding planner.
Every episode has just ended so spectacularly.
I agree.
Fantastic.
I love that.
Oh, Cersei.
Can I talk?
She's so close to getting drunk again.
This is a great episode for women.
Mace Tyrell was great.
I haven't actually been following season 6. I watched up into season 5.
Okay. But
yeah. It was interesting because they've changed so many things. Like, George has expressly denied that Cold Hands is Benjen, and they had him be Benjen, so it was like, okay, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
And now they're doing a Jaime Riverlands plot instead of last season where he went to Dawn for some reason. Even though it was nice eating snakes with Rum. But yeah, it was weird.
Arya's about to do stuff finally. It's been a long few weeks of...
Yay, Uncle Cold Hands!
Do you think you're going to keep watching the show after this episode, or are you kind of sworn it off?
I'm actually tempted to keep watching because it was fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That ending was wow, because, like, wasn't expecting a dragon. But, like, all throughout the episode, like, especially the beginning, that was really gripping, with the whites chasing Bran, and then... Benjen finally getting revealed. That was so rewarding. And Sam's family, like, I'd been waiting for that for so long. And I'm so glad, like, Sam's kind of doing that little, like, knock at him to his father. I want next week's episode now.
I actually thought, the end, if for this episode, compared to the rest of the season, I thought less happened in terms of actually moving the plot along, which is fine. It was nice to have, you know, kind of a catch up to get kind of, like, you know, character viewpoints, get them settled and stuff. The Blackfish is back! Yeah! I know a lot of people were wowed by the ending. I was in particular. I mean, it was just kind of a nothing scene to me, I'll be honest.
Why is Walder Frey suddenly so important? I mean, he hasn't actually been in the books since A Storm of Swords. And he has loads of scenes now, so why is that? Okay, possibly the Blackfish, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And then, yeah, I really liked Lord Tully in the way that he was absolutely awful, but he was very good. He was good.
Yeah,
he was
very good.
I really loved the Tarly scenes. I thought those were fantastic. Though it's odd to me that their house, like, honestly makes, like, Winterfell look like shit. that was a nice place. And for just, you know, for a non, like, that they're not even, like, they're not the Tyrells or anything like that.
The show was good.
I think of all the time that we spent in Horn Hill and just how it sort of flowed. And like I said, backstage with the actors and also the dialogue that we had. We didn't just have that one scene with Benjen. You know, we had plenty of back and forth, and it didn't feel like we were being treated to something just to have it taken away. Like, I felt like we were comfortably in these scenes, and I felt like we're comfortably in post-game stuff. Obviously, it's not post-game because the game's not over, but in these latter portions, like I was talking about earlier in the episodes, I feel like not only is it really fast, but at the same time, we're comfortable.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All we can say is, you know, bring it on. the Night's King arm raise move.
Yes. So showrunners, bring it on.
Bring it on. Well, we're deep in season six, and so we know the drill of how this season has gone. So I think we were all prepared for another episode like this. It's consistent with what we've been seeing. So we know the drill.
And yet I wonder if next week's episode isn't also going to just answer like not only what is up with the other characters, the ones we didn't see tonight, but more of what the rest of the, we're past the halfway point now in the season. So what is this season going to look like at the outset? You know, what will have happened? And I'm really interested because this episode did that at some point. You know, Sam and Gilly's trajectory has once again been altered. Jamie's trajectory has finally been altered. You know, it's seeing that the Riverlands, not Winterfell, although probably that as well, may be the center, for a big battle. And seeing that, that Littlefinger wasn't in fact lying, as it turns out, and that River Run was taken back by the Blackfish, that surprised me. So I think it's still anybody's game.
I hope that we get the answer to the Tower of Joy riddle.
Yeah,
I have a feeling.
Anyone see Ned's bloody hand and that vision? Kind of looked like it, at least.
Looked like a bed of blood to me.
Just warg a little bit next episode, Bran. All right, they're going to be pulling you anyway.
Give us a couple moments. There's no rules anymore.
The horse.
All right, we have a second episode this week. We're going to be super prepared.
We're going to watch this episode 100 more times.
Thank you for your countless owns tonight. Micah wasn't here, so I got to experience a lot of these firsthand. And, jeez, it's overwhelming. I was overwhelmed. I don't know what to do, guys.
Yeah.
Hannah's at a con, hanging out with people. Eric, you're at a watch party. And here I am. What do I do with all of these owns?
You retweet them. All men must retweet.
Sansa wasn't in this episode, so who did anybody give their own to?
I didn't let any of you impact my decision.
Ooh, you promise?
I promise.
I don't believe you. Go on.
I promise. I don't even know what my own is. Oh, well. I'm thinking about it right now.
It sounds to me like it's a perfect time as any to actually let somebody else's own influence what your own is.
I guess so.
Quick. Run to your favorite retweet. I'm probably going to give my own to either Gilly or Arya, but it might actually just fuck it. It's Arya for pointing out for basically just completely spelling out the hit to the intended victim. Like, watch out for her. She wants you dead. I mean, unbelievable. I think it's perfectly clear to Lady Crane who or what Arya is at that point. And that's just something that, you know I would be grateful for that kind of reprieve from someone from an assassin who's going to come and kill me. So, you know, and not only that, but to point out the person behind it all. So Arya, in breaking all of the rules, girl, you go, you get my own.
That was good.
Sound.
I'm going to give my own to Mace Tyrell.
For wearing that
I
armor.
Laughed so hard watching him roll up on his horse with his hat and his armor and just the look on his face. Yeah.
It's his helmet.
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. His helmet with the little feather on top or whatever that was. That was so funny. I loved that. So I'm going to give my own to him.
Yankee Doodle over here.
Mace Tyrell corrected us himself on Twitter for calling it a hat. Duly Sorry. Noted after seeing the episode.
My apologies.
After your fantastic speech.
Cool hat.
The madness ends today. Yeah. Whatever he said.
I loved it. I loved that.
It was also pretty cool that Olenna was there.
Yeah.
She immediately started fanning herself.
Well, I mean, it's hot there and it smells. Yeah. She's used to those flowery.
She's not going to miss this. Also, I give my secondary own to Jamie riding his horse up some stairs. That was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Oh, that was, right? Okay, that was cool.
That was really cool.
That's what I'm saying. That whole scene. I one of my notes is, my God.
Yeah.
And then that twist.
If we're giving secondary owns, I'll give mine to Marjorie. You know,
yes.
The line about...
Are we stealing all your own?
Sorry.
I don't even know my own
sorry.
Yet.
What was it? Hang on. I wrote it here somewhere. How good I was at seeming good. You know, the really self-reflective, line of bull from Marjorie there was excellent. So secondary owned to her. Sorry, Zach, you should give your primary and secondary owns.
There was a little bit of real world commentary too there, which I thought was fascinating.
You know, video.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, you guys all watched this episode. I mean, Sam stole a Valyrian steel sword from his hometown, you know?
From his dad, no less.
Yeah.
That was a giant middle finger.
This episode was full of giant middle fingers.
But no little fingers.
No little fingers.
Aww.
You know, honestly, Danny did a good job. Casual owned the episode for not feeling like they had to end on a cliffhanger either, right?
Yeah.
I felt comfortable with how it ended. I was like, wait, is this the end? Have I been watching for 50 minutes? I don't think so.
Just the dragon roaring.
I need to stop stalling. Arya. That's such a, just a, like, okay. All right.
Don't build feel up bad. For nothing. That's a good own. That's a solid own. You could give it to Benjen, but that's a solid own.
I mean, Benjen doesn't need us to give him the own.
I know.
He really doesn't.
He doesn't need that validation.
He doesn't need us at all. Clearly, he can survive on his own.
I want to know the north. All about that actor against White Walkers, call back and being like, dude, we need you again for Game of Thrones. Are you in? Yes.
Arya became Arya and brought back. I mean, she used to be my favorite part of the show. So, yeah. That's it.
Well, we'll talk about it even more later in this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it again. And
me too.
Actually, maybe writing down a few of my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I missed our midweek discussion last week, so I'm excited to
me too
piece it.
We get back into it.
Apart.
Yeah,
yeah.
And by the time we sit down again, we'll have several more, dozens more, I hope, owns from you, the audience, from the listeners, and just going to remind you how you can send us your owns, primarily over on Twitter, twitter.com/gameofowns, @replies @gameofowns on Twitter with your owns. We do retweet them whenever we see one we love, and we'll pull them all from the satchel on our next episode. Over on Facebook, you can scrawl upon our Facebook wall, facebook.com/gameofowns. Share us a funny watching story if you were in an audience and what happened when you and your friends were reacting to tonight's ep over on Facebook. And otherwise, you can always email us. contact@gameofowns.com is our email.
If you like our podcast, if it brings you enjoyment, if you enjoy the conversations we share with each other and with our friends, some of which work on the actual television show that you're watching, please consider reviewing our podcast on iTunes.
But only if it's 5 stars.
That too.
Doing so will help us, will help other listeners find us, and we'll really just share the love and spread the love as we are midway through the season.
So as I've been saying a million times, is at Balticon this weekend, and if you support Patreon at the Kingsguard level, you get access to our Game of Thrones Snapchat. And so this weekend, got to snap some pictures of George R. R. Martin, some annoying selfies of me with other people from Watchers on the Wall. So if you head over to patreon.com/goo, you can sign up to support the show and get some inside look at stuff that we're doing. Our favorite podcast, The Squad of Ice and Fire, which is there as well, and access to
your favorite podcast.
Sorry, my favorite podcast. Don't want to put that on you guys. And access to other fun stuff while we're at cons and spending time together. So check it out.
We'd like to remind our listeners that this episode was sponsored by Total War Warhammer, a marriage made in gaming heaven. Pick up the game now on the Steam Marketplace.
These episodes are commonly our most listened to episodes of the year, and they continue to tick up. You continue to find them, new listeners, in the off season when we're going through the book. Some of you go back and listen again and sort of relive the feelings that happened directly after the episode aired. And that's one of my favorite parts of making these episodes that we do for Sunday night, because they're sort of that first look, that first take initially. And I think that for me, a lot of that magic that I feel for the show, it sort of embodies itself and the passion I have for talking about it with you guys. So just want to say thank you so far for this season, coming out now 6 times and joining us on, you know what I mean? Like, these mm-hmm. episodes are so scatterbrained in a way Our midweek episodes are often, you know, far more organized and far more detailed and, you know, compacting ideas and questions brought up by you, the listeners. And, you know, to be this far into season six and really, you know, 300 plus episodes into our show and to still have you guys trust us enough to be that friend, you know, to be that sort of imaginary friend on your shoulder as the day following your favorite TV show aired is a big honor. So, thank you.
Thank you.
We say all the time how much fun it is to get to do this together and with everybody who's participating. And that was just reinforced again as I got to spend time with people in person this weekend. And so the opportunity that we have to watch together and to talk together and to share ideas and to tweet with each other, I can't imagine it being any better than it is right now.
It's fun.
Unless George R. Martin was sitting next to me recording. But it's just, I mean, it's...
Hashtag missed opportunity, 2K16, Hannah.
Missed opportunity 2016, but it's sincere. It's so much fun.
So that's all.
Let's do it again.